Hey, it's time to gather around the water cooler to talk the SNL Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's JD here, and welcome back to the SNL Hall of Fame. I am headed down to the lunchroom to meet my friends Joe and Shari. Hey, Matt, how you doing? And we're going to hang out by the water cooler and talk about this week's episode of the SNL Hall of Fame and this week's episode of SNL, where you'll hear Joe and Shari's Hall of Shame and Hall of Fame moments from the episode they watched just this past Saturday. So there's that. Joe, Shari, how you doing? Shari, how's it going today?
It's going well, JD. I got my glug-glug-glugging jug right here that I filled up from the water cooler.
Hashtag glug jug.
Yep. Glug jug. I like it.
Yeah. Joe, my friend, what's shaking?
Yes, I'm good. I got my water ready to talk about this key person to SNL. This is a good one. I am really excited.
Excellent. Well, let's get right into things then. Shari, I wonder if you want to discuss this week's topic, which was Jimmy Fallon, where we were graced with the presence of John Schneider to present him as a nominee in the SNL Hall of Fame. Do you want to go over that episode and the thrust of John's argument, Shari?
Oh, sure. I'm not so excited about this episode. I do not share Joe's enthusiasm. Joe and I have talked about our differing views on Mr. Fallon, and Bill has added to the conversation when the three of us did the draft. This was still a great episode. Though I'm not as big a fan of Jimmy Fallon, I am a very big fan of Mr. Bill Kenny and of Mr. John Schneider, one of the co-founders of the Saturday Night Network, which is like my cyber home and such a great place and such a great community that John has built. So I have a lot of respect for John, and he does a great job presenting the career of Jimmy Fallon and how Jimmy has become over the years the face of Saturday Night Live. And John refers to him as the cheerleader many, many times. He's not wrong. Jimmy is definitely a fan of the show, and he remains a fan of the show. And that's probably his biggest strength. John also talks about his work in sketches and his work on the update desk. That's where I feel he struggled. But John does make a compelling case for Jimmy as an overall comic force and for everything he's done for SNL over the years. And John feels that all of that together makes him a Hall of Fame nominee. So he and Bill really did a good, nice job. And it was a very interesting episode because Bill feels more like I do and is not the hugest Fallon fan. And he and John have gone back and forth on Jimmy in the past. So this made for a rousing episode. It was a lot of fun. And you learned a lot about Jimmy Fallon, things that I didn't really know. So definitely one to listen to, even if you're not a huge fan or if you are, because you get two really distinct, interesting points of view.
Yeah, which is really an interesting, there is a point counterpoint thing sort of going on in this episode. Shari, I'm wondering, on a scale of 1 to 10 on the Jimmyometer prior to this episode, 1 being the lowest, the most disliked, and 10 being I love them, where did you sit with Jimmy Fallon prior to this episode, and did it change following the episode?
He was about a 5, probably, because I do take into consideration everything he's done for the show. Right. But after I listened to John, he moved up to like a 6 or a 7 even.
See,
because John made a really compelling argument. I think he did the same for Bill. I'd be interested to see if Bill felt the same, because I know he made a comment that he was swayed as well a little bit, but he still wasn't sure. I'm definitely still on the fence, but when I'm filling out the ballot, we'll see how I'm feeling. But John definitely did sway me. He did sway me for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's ultimately, you know, what this show is supposed to do on Mondays. It's supposed to get you sort of fired up and or fired down, as the case may be, on, you know, the particular nominee. Joe, I'm wondering if you can share somebody who is already in the Hall of Fame that might be a comp to Mr. Falloon.
Easily. All right, because the three things that make a good cast member. Now, you don't need to do all three things. You just need to be good at least one or two of them. But anyway, it's impressions, characters, and hosting Weekend Update. Not doing a character on, but hosting Weekend Update. And there's only been a small handful of people that were able to do all three. And I'm not saying that if you don't do all three, you're bad or anything like that. I'm just saying those are just the three categories, and there's a small amount that did the trifecta. And the three other people that I picked were Dan Aykroyd. Now, side note, everyone from the original first 5 years took turns hosting Update, and they all did characters and impressions, but I'm just going to go with Aykroyd because he was really good at Update. So then then the next person who was able to do all three was Kevin Nealon, who did like Franz, and he did a couple impressions, and then he hosted Update. And then the other only other person I could think of is Amy Poehler, who, again, and Hillary Clinton, I could, like any character Amy, you know, did, or, and Update. So, and who hosted Update right. with multiple hosts. So to answer your like question, like Jimmy Fallon is in a small list of people that were able to do the three things that make an SNL cast member great. And the three other people that he shares that talent with are people that are either in the Hall of Fame or Kevin Nealon. But that's who I think he has similarities with.
Interesting. Yeah, I like the package that you brought there, Joe. Fascinating. Shari, how about you?
So I went a slightly different route, but you made a really good point, Joe. I think those three criteria that you have are very interesting. And everybody seems to have their own criteria for what makes a great cast member. So I love hearing different people's takes. Anyways, as far as somebody that I think he compares to, I went in a slightly different direction. I thought about another Update host that I feel like he's comparable to. And he's in the Hall, but he's in the Hall as a writer. But I feel like they're very similar in that they're both, their sketch abilities are just, I mean, Jimmy's are better than this person's, but both of them I wouldn't consider the best sketch players. However, this person is a much better Update host than Jimmy ever was. And I'm speaking of Seth Meyers. I feel like they have a lot of similarities just in sensibility and in the fact that they aren't great sketch comedians and the fact that they both were on the Update desk and that they often like concede they're both good at like taking the back seat and not always having to have the attention on them. I know that was Seth for sure. He was rarely the front man in a sketch, and Jimmy isn't usually either. So I do feel like they are similar animals, so to speak. So that's my in the Hall comparison. On the ballot, I think he compares to someone who needs to get off the ballot and into the Hall, I hope, is Fred Armisen. I feel like people have really strong opinions about Fred like they do about Jim. They either love him or... But I've had a lot of interesting discussions about Fred Armisen over the years. And I feel like people like I said, they either really think he's hilarious or they don't get him. And I agree with that. And also, Fred doesn't have a lot of impressions. And the impressions that he does have are sometimes controversial. And Jimmy, same thing. I mean, we could get into the whole Jimmy in blackface doing Chris Rock and, you know, that kind of mistake right. that we made. And Fred had a couple of those, too, with his accents not being really accurate. But I really like Fred. I think he's hilarious. I don't find Jimmy as funny, but I do think they're similar. They're also both good at being the sponges, which John talked a lot about that with Jimmy, where Jimmy can just kind of mold his way into a sketch and like be a chameleon. I think Fred's the same way. So yeah, definitely Fred Armisen as someone who's on the ballot.
Joe, how about you?
I agree with what she said. Like, cause how about this? I have this note that points out how similar Seth Meyers and Fallon are, which is they both kind of like got promotions where they went from Update to hosting Late Night, and then Fallon got the Tonight Show, and then Seth Meyers went from Update and then Late Night, and then I'm guessing like just following the pattern, you know, Seth Meyers would, you know, get the Tonight Show. Unless Jay Leno won. But
can I just add one thing? Joe did point out someone when he did his whole package. He pointed out someone that was on the ballot that Mr. Fallon compared to. He mentioned Kevin Nealon, who we just talked about not too long ago. And I think Kevin was an excellent observation, Joe. I think he and Jimmy are sort of similar too, with that sort of dry wit that they brought to the Update desk. So I thought he was an excellent choice for somebody on the ballot as well. Just wanted to add that little piece.
Let's go to the closing argument. John made an impassioned plea at Bill's request, and I'm curious what you guys think about it. So let's give it a listen, and we'll be back on the other side.
So John, we've talked about a lot of different sketches, a lot of different moments, some good, some bad, but I think the overall swath of Jimmy Fallon's career is definitely worthy of discussing in the SNL Hall of Fame. Here's your chance to kind of put a button on it, tell everybody, the viewers, the listeners, and the people around the water cooler why they should vote for Jimmy into the SNL Hall of Fame.
I think this is the perfect season to vote Jimmy in. As you know, JD said, we're going to get unlimited votes here. So we're really trying to fill the Hall of Fame with people who we could put a stamp on and close the books for now and say, like, these are the best representatives of the history of the show, the people who came on and performed the best. And I think that, yes, there are a lot of question marks when it comes to Jimmy's career, as far as like, would he be first ballot in any, you know, question of a Hall of Fame. But I do think that, you know, his talent, his ability to connect with the performers around him, and now as he's grown in his role as, you know, the star of NBC, and just his continual love for Saturday Night Live, I think is a large reason why SNL has continued into this next generation, because he continues to push forward every generation of the show and try and encourage younger viewers to come on in and watch the things that have happened in the past there. So I think he's an excellent representative. You saw it this season on season 50, where he's the one who's going to give Marty Short his five timers jacket. So again, he can't tell the story of SNL without Jimmy Fallon. So don't be a cork soaker. Vote for Jimmy for the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so that was John Schneider and Bill Kenny from Monday's episode of the SNL Hall of Fame with his final argument. Shari, what do you have to say about Mr. Schneider's argument? I'm very curious because it seems you got some venom to spit today, and I love it.
We like to be controversial here on the SNL Hall of Fame water cooler.
That's right.
Yeah, in all seriousness, John, boy, he kept it short and sweet. And what he really, really emphasized is how much of a John talked a lot about what Jimmy did after SNL and how that has affected SNL. And he's not wrong. Jimmy has guests from SNL on his show all the time. And when he doesn't, he's still constantly talking about the show. He has a segment where he redoes old sketches, I think.
Wow.
Like they return to old sketches and redo them, I think. I can't remember the name of the bit. But he does that. He really loves the show. And he is a huge advocate. And John isn't wrong. Is that a reason to put him in the hall? That's up to the listeners. I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'm sitting right on the fence like a cat. I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I guess we'll just see when I start voting.
Yeah. It's
gonna be... Take it away, Joe.
Okay. So I agree. You can't tell the SNL story without mentioning Fallon. He was in great sketches. He was in Cowbell and Italy Downer. So he was like, you know, and then he bridged the gap between the Weekend Update gap between Colin Quinn and kind of what Update is now, you know, yeah, with all the pairing and stuff like that. So he was in like the first pairing, even though there was a point where it was just Myers, but still, he was in the, you know, renaissance of the pairing of Weekend Update, you know. And he, you know, was in that cast that was in a, it bridged the gap between that 95 cast of Farrell, Oteri, Catan, Daryl Hammond, and then it was his cast of Faye and, you know, Rachel Dratch and Amy Poehler. And then, you know, he was, that was his cast, and then he was in the bridge that led into the Kristen Wiig, Jason Sudeikis, and Will Forte. So he was like, he kept it going, you know, like, and the way, as the way the, you know, show does, where a cast graduates, and then there's the next one, and then that one graduates, and so forth and so forth. So it was Will Ferrell's turn, then, you know, Fallon's turn, and then Kristen Wiig's turn. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with that statement. You can't tell the SNL story without mentioning Fallon, especially because he has this likable quality of, like, your fanboy, your SNL fanboy friend, like one of us, if they got to be an SNL cast member and was, like, reasonably, well, I mean, let's be honest, reasonably good at it, you know, like, laughed in sketches, but still, I mean, he did the trifecta of Update, characters, impressions, and then he would go on, you know, and he was a writer, you know, obviously, because cast members are writers, and then he would come back and host. So he was like writer, cast member, you know, impressions, characters, Update, and host. The only thing left is, you know, being a musical guest, you know, and that's getting into Michael McKean territory for all us SNL nerds. But yeah, I mean, he is in there. He's, you know, you can't, you would be missing, it'd be a gap in, you know, the SNL story if you left out Fallon. A bit, you know, yeah.
Blank pages. Mm-hmm. My God. No, I agree with you. I gotta say, I'm more in Joe's camp than Shari's camp for the story aspect. I was never a Fallon fan either. He bothered me. I think, you know, his breaking and sketches annoyed me enough that it took away any of his positives for me. And sometimes I could laugh along with him. I get it. But sometimes it just seemed like gratuitous and you know, a little overzealous, I suppose. Let's talk about last night's episode. Oh, we just gave away when we're recording this. Oh no. Let's talk about last night's episode of SNL. I want to know your Hall of Fame and Hall of Shame moments, and we'll start with you, Joe, with your Hall of Fame moment.
Okay, it was a good, solid, well-earned B+ or A-. It was a great show. It, you know, had its, you know, a couple, you know, swings and misses, in my opinion. But Quinta Brunston, she came back to host, and the first time she hosted, I'm like, okay. She did good. You know, she did a wide variety of sketches.
Quinta Brunson.
She did well. And, you know, I really liked the drug dealing sketch. And there's another one that we'll get to in a little bit. I just don't want to hog it. But she did her, you know, the first time she hosted, I'm like, all right, she did good. Okay. And when I heard that she was hosting again, I'm like, all right, that might be pushing it. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Like, will she be good again? I was like, I had the. That question was worth asking. And then when she came back, she was great. Her monologue was great. And, but, you know, and then she did a wide variety of sketches. But to me, what my favorite one was the Gorilla Cage, which is just the setup is on Instagram or whatever. People have been asking who would win, 100 men or a gorilla. And, you know, people have many different answers for it. And then SNL had their take with it, which is, what if it was two black women versus a gorilla? And I like the reason I like about it is SNL took something topical, had an original take, and in the sketch, the host had chemistry with a cast member. So it was like everything that a good SNL sketch should be. You know, and it didn't have to be based, you know, a character thing like a Van Down by River. It was something that could be a one-off, you know, in the moment. You know that when the show, you know, when the sketch or, you know, took place, what, you know, time period or whatever, you know, when it aired, you remember that trend or whatever. And it just, everything came together. And it was, you know, and it was filmed in this POV way, so it looked different. And it just scored in so many ways. So, yeah, that was my Hall of Fame moment. Chari?
Well, I have mentioned this person many, many times since we've started this season. I did not always like him, but now I'm like this giant fan for him. Weekend Update was just has just been getting better and better every episode. It's been like the highlight of almost every episode. It's so good this season. I don't know if that's fodder for the rumor that Jost and Che are trying to go out on a high note. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because they're on the 50th season high. I don't know. But it's been so great. And all of the special guests on it have been so good. Everybody's done great this year. Sarah and Bowen, just every, and we're going to, Sarah and Bowen were on last night or on the episode we're talking about. And they were great as well. But the one I want to talk about on Update, who I felt stole the show, who has stolen my heart, is Mikey Longs or Michael Longfellow. He is so, so, so funny. And when he made that meta comment about, yeah, haven't really been on the show a lot this season, I just lost it because he's not lying. He hasn't been on a lot. But when he's on, he is freaking fantastic. I loved Goth Kid on Vacation and in a couple episodes again, and I talked about my love for that. And this time talking about Real ID, which JD, I know you're in Canada and don't have to deal with this stuff. But, you know, now we have to get a Real ID to get on the plane and it's a whole thing. And I just thought Longfellow was so astute in his observations about how it's just one more hoop we have to jump through. And I just, he was so, so good and so funny. And he has such a great deadpan. People are rumoring that maybe he'll inherit the throne of Update eventually. I don't know if that's going to happen. I just want them to give him more time on the screen because I think he's hilarious. And it is not, his looks don't do it for me. He's a little too pretty for me. But he's so, so funny. So. That was my Hall of Fame.
All right, let's keep it rolling with your Hall of Shame moment.
No, I am really sorry. We don't disagree a lot, but we're having a disagreeing episode. I did not care for the two women and the gorilla thing. I didn't get the premise because I'm not a big social media. I mean, I'm on it a little. But I don't keep up with all the trends, so I didn't know about this 100 men versus a gorilla thing. But that aside, this sketch stood on its own fine. I just didn't find it very funny. I loved Quinta and Ego together, so I agree with you there, Joe. They were great. But the premise itself just left me a little cold. This was the only sketch that didn't hit for me the whole night. So, I mean, here we're showing you how subjective SNL is. One person can love something and another person cannot. And that's the beauty of the show. There is something for everyone. So it was my Hall of Shame moment, but I know there were many others who enjoyed it, which I understand that too.
Well, they need to get a podcast and express their opinions there. Joe, what was your Hall of Shame moment,
okay,
my friend?
Before, like, yes, we are having a big disagreeing episode. It's about time after, you know, like, two seasons or whatever, you know, we finally, you know, had, you know, intersected. You sit there with your Aquafina. I'll have mine Evian. It's fine. It's fine. But no, I agree. Update scores. And yeah, there's, and you were touched on, you know, is this the last season for Colin and Che? Now in the traffic altercation sketch, which I thought I picked Gorilla Cage because it was legit my favorite, but I thought you were going to pick that. Colin shows up making a joke about selling a ferry, and I was wondering, like, again, it just feels like a senior, classmate that, like, it's the last month, before graduation, and he's kind of going out, you know, and it's like, hey, look, Colin's in a sketch, you know, like, he's just, I don't care, I'm not, you know, I'm not just going to do update, you know, hey, they're joking about fairies, I'm going to joke about, you know, the one I bought, and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if, like, that's leading into his, you know, departure or whatever, like, his departure episode and all that. But as far as the con episode, or con Hall of Shame, the one I picked was the AA meeting. And it was basically, like, the reason why an SNL sketch falls flat, which is, you see the joke, either like it or you don't, but the thing is, it's the one joke for the whole sketch, and for the next 2 or 3 minutes, that's the joke that you get, you know? And it's not even, like, they do an alternative one about, like, hey, these donuts are bad, or something. It's, like, the only joke. And then you gotta, you know, wait through the sketch, through commercial, and then, you know, wait for the next sketch. So it's kind of like that one kind of, you know, fell flat. And I don't know. And it wasn't like, and at first I thought, like, is this because of the subject matter that it deals with addiction? And I'm like, no, it's, I know what he's going to say next, almost word for word or whatever, you know? So yeah, it, that's the thing. It just fell flat.
Jeez. Nothing worse than watching a sketch and looking forward to the commercials. Oof. Oof. All right, who's on the big show next week again? It's
Walton Goggins and musical Fire. Guest Arcade Fire, yes.
Right on. Okay, cool.
Should be a good show.
Next week on this show, on our sister show, the SNL Hall of Fame, we're going to invite our friend Kirsten Rajala in to talk about Cecily Strong on the last episode before the Don Pardo Awards. This is the last nomination episode of the season, season 7, the final season. So Cecily Strong gets that honor. Will she get in the Hall of Fame? Well, we'll see what Kirsten's argument looks like on Monday, and we'll go from there. Joe, Shari, thanks so much for taking the time.
It's a very Weekend Update filled season this year. We got Aykroyd, or we got Nealon, Fallon, Chevy Chase, Dennis Miller, and Cecily Strong. So we'll continue.
Wow,
this,
that is a lot.
You know, this update train. So stay tuned for next week for that.
Excellent. On behalf of Joe and Shari, this is JD saying stay thirsty.
Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler. To connect with Joe and Shari, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/SNLHOF. To email the cast, write to snlhofwc@gmail.com. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Duvra. Podcasts and such.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.